Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. You know, when we were coming, we met the presidential convoy. And these days, they stop even flies. Even mosquitoes, flies, they stop them. They might bite him and he dies. But he's going to die. Like, but God, you know, God is supreme. Eh? You do all that and then you can even die tonight. Like, God is supreme. Praise the Lord. Anyway, not that I wish for him to die, but then also I wouldn't cry if he did. When the wicked perish, they are what? Shouts of joy. So do not expect to see any tear from me. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Now some of you get angry because your spies, you think he's God. He's going to die. Amen? And I'm not going to shed a single tear. Not one like this. I'll get my cappuccino and drink. If he's alive, it's okay. I'll still drink my cappuccino. Amen? Bottom line, I'll drink cappuccino. But do not expect, you know, when the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Anyway, I just said that to annoy. And I'm seeing them here annoyed like this. Eh? How dare you speak like that about our God? Go and worship him. Leave us. Don't disturb us. For us here, worship the real God. You know, they come here and I called for prayer. Then they were there. Looking at me like this. People are praying for you are there. But some of those people, one day I'm going to issue a curse. Or I can't. But maybe I can. Because sometimes I'm on the brink of just saying, I would have to answer for it on the day of judgment. But praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, I was angry because I should have been here 30 minutes ago. I was on time to be here the time I usually am. But flies are stopped. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, the scripture says in Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6, it says that he will shake the heavens and the earth. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Now, the putting of capitals is wrong because they are trying to make it look like the desire of all nations is the Lord. But that's not true. So it's the desire of, you said, the KJVs. But you see, for them, they don't try to presume where they are talking about God or not. It's the New King James where they presume, so they put capitals. But anyway, here it says, and I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Go back to our NKJV. Then he says in verse 8, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Now, what he's talking about is, as the desire of all nations, is wealth, is the silver, and is the gold. And what he's talking about shaking is a system that ensures, like I told you last Friday it was, how there is a system that ensures that wealth stays among the aristocracy. And those who are not part of it are not supposed to be there. So they put it like that, and they even set up laws which people follow, even the slaves follow, and they say, you know, money laundering. What is money laundering? Money laundering is money in the hands of the wrong people. As long as you have a certain class, you can launder all the money you want. But when it is you, then it's laundering. Have you heard that joke where they say that the boss is never late, he's only delayed? Eh? That's how it is with them. For them, it's not laundering. It is something else. Now, for you, it's laundering. And it's a crime. And they even put it in the books. And even start reporting on each other. That is laundering money. But he has not printed it himself. That means the money was printed by somebody else. So what is laundering? Laundering is a law by which wealth stays among the wealthy and poverty stays among the poor. So they even push those laws into your banks. So you go to a bank, you deposit money. They ask you, where did you get this money? There's certain amounts of money where you even deposit and they close the account. So the account is closed. First come and explain to us, how did you get 20 million? We know you to be having 200,000, 300,000 in your account. Where did you get 20 million? And they close the account. And you have to go and explain where you got the money from. Why? Because you're not in their system, you're not supposed to be like, people are not supposed to skip from here to the other side. You're supposed to stay where you are and don't waste people's time. Now, then you go to withdraw the money. Even after you've explained how you got it, that I sold a piece of land, water, and so on, then they say, okay. Now, when you go to withdraw, you have to fill a form, purpose of funds. My money, and you're asking me purpose of funds. Reminds me of primary school where you'd take your grub to the matron. And she also enjoys eating biscuits and what. So when you go there for your biscuits, she says, what do you want them for? But they are mine. So at the end of the term, if you had 5 packets of biscuits, you only eat one. And the matron eats the rest. And our children and what. So now you go to ask. And now you see, this is instituted in banks. And people don't even question it. It's like, okay, now, what is the purpose of the funds? What is money laundering? Then now in the West, they will tell you net zero. Climate change. We have to achieve net zero. Now, when they say net zero, they are putting a target for you which you cannot. First of all, you don't even know what the target is. They are the ones who will tell you that we've arrived at net zero. But they will never tell you. And they are like their master, the devil. He will come and tell you, you have to live in holiness. That he doesn't tell you what holiness is. And then, you're sitting an exam for which you don't have a marking scheme, or even you don't know the grading system. So he comes and says, you have to do this. So even when you think you've done everything right, he says, yesterday, instead of praying for 1 hour, you prayed for 50 minutes. So you have not yet achieved holiness. So he keeps on rotating you around there. And if you actually fall for... Now, net zero. They come and say that's net zero. That means there are zero emissions of carbon dioxide. Like, who can achieve that? It's not achievable. Even if the people were to achieve it, they would be the ones to tell you that you've achieved it. And they will never tell you that. So what they do is just to put taxes on people and make sure that wealth is in the hands of the aristocracy, of the people who are supposed to have it. That's what they do. That's their purpose. And then they look at all the things that can make people who are not rich become rich. Say, like oil. So because of oil, a small country like Equatorial Guinea has a lot of money. Then the Sultan of Brunei is there buying gold-plated, Rolls Royces because he has oil and so on. And then they look, and then they realize that they are losing everything because of oil. Did you know that? Now, seeing even the Saudi Arabians trying to start a league to rival the Premier League, to take what they have. So they will come for their best players and say, we are giving you 400,000 a week. And for you, you're giving him 40,000. And the guy will say, man, you cheat, let me go the other side. Eventually, they can take everything out because they have money. You see, eh? And where do they get the money? Oil. So how do you sort that? Climate change. Fossil fuels. No fossil fuels. We are going to use windmills. All that are plots. All that is a plot of the devil to keep people who are supposed to be poor, to keep them poor. It's just that simple. And that's just even the natural things that they put in place. The others. So he says, the silver and the gold, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Now he repeats this scripture of shaking the nations and all people coming to the desire of the nations, repeated in Hebrews chapter 12. But what I'm telling you here is, what he's talking about shaking is that system which they have put in place to ensure that you're supposed to stay where you are. And to ensure that they are supposed to stay where they are. Now, when the system is shaken, then somehow people who are not supposed to be on top find themselves on top. That's people who God has desired to be on top. Remember the story of, and God uses calamity to change things. You remember the story of Isaac when he was in famine, when there was a famine in the land. Now, when there is no famine and everybody can plant, then you might not tell who is blessed and who is not blessed. But now when there is a famine, The scripture says Isaac sowed in the famine and reaped a hundredfold. Now the other people could not sow because there was famine. For him, he sowed in the famine and reaped a hundredfold because he had a blessing. Then he said he became too strong for them, and they started fighting him. And they even told him, "You've become mightier than us. Please leave, because we can't handle you. Leave our land and go." Now, so God uses calamity as his, you know, to sort things out and remove what men have set up over the centuries and set it up. You know, for you, you are not supposed to innovate. Your colonial masters are supposed to decide what you do. Everything is supposed to be followed in a certain way. Then he uses calamity, like he did with Joseph. And I've told you that story of how 1 minute the children of Israel are in Goshen and they are herdsmen, and the whole of Egypt is prospering. Then God plots something, the Joseph thing. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And then the whole thing rolls out. At the end of the famine, all Egypt have become slaves of Pharaoh. And actually, the scripture says they asked Pharaoh. They first gave their money, then the money ran out. Then they gave their livestock, then the livestock ran out. Then they eventually gave the land, and the land ran out. Then they eventually gave themselves and said, "We shall be slaves of Pharaoh." And then Joseph put a law for them that they shall always give a fifth of their money to Pharaoh, i.e. taxes. Okay? Now, yet the same Joseph was supplying Israel, his brethren, free food, so they never lost anything. Actually, Israel went up as the Egyptians went down, and God used calamity. So now, this shaking of the system is necessary, because you see, there are some people even among us here who think that you are somehow going to game this system and you end up on top. You're somehow going to find a way, and in spite of everything, somehow you're going to be on top. I'm telling you, God is going to have to change the system. Because as I've told you, there is everything. Either you'll be money laundering, or you'll be, "Where did you get the money from?" There are people who, even if you put 1 million on your account, they will close it. Eh? 1 million, they will close it. Because for you, they know your account is supposed to have like 200K, 100K. And regardless, there's a time when I made 50 years, I went and got my NSSF money. Then they closed my account. But the thing is, by the time they closed the account, the money which was for NSSF was very little money. I would spend it in a week. But for them, "Where do you get all this money?" They closed the account. So I went there, they sent me to go and see them. But it came from the NSSF. So they sent me there to go and see the whatever. So explain, "Where did you get this money from?" Like, you're not supposed to have money. And now I'll tell you, even these banking systems, when your account hits 20 million, it's automatically, there is a flag on it. Unless, of course, you're known to be somebody who exists up there, i.e. one of them. But for you, you're supposed to have a salary which knocks on the account, and in the first 3 days, it is gone. And that's what they are used to. And because you have debts, so, and you know now where you are, some of you, even you can tell somebody, "Can I send you mobile money?" Say that, "Send to this number, because this one I have a date." Like, you've really been reduced to, like you've been squeezed by the system, and somehow you think that you are going to game it. You are not. So now God has to shake it for you, the way he did, 47, what? Genesis, 47:27. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt and in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions. You go like two verses before, 25. Let's start from verse 20. It says, "Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sowed his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's." Go ahead. "And as for the people, he moved them into the cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands." Go ahead. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I've bought you. And you're not, I've not bought your land, I've bought you. Now imagine he's saying that. Imagine somebody comes and says, I've bought you for Pharaoh. Indeed, I've bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. Verse 24. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give 1/5 to Pharaoh. 4/5 shall be your own as seed for the field and for your food, for those of your household, and as food for your little ones. Then 25. So they said, you can't buy us. Who do you think you are to buy us? We are free human beings. No, that's not what they said. They said, you have saved our lives. So let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have 1/5 except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. 27. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Now, what I'm saying is, these ones have been sold to Pharaoh, and they say, okay, it's okay, let us be Pharaoh's servants, because we are going to die if it wasn't for you. But Joseph, by just providing food for his people when there was famine, the same system which made the other ones slaves made these ones have a lot of possessions in the land, and they grew and they multiplied exceedingly. Praise the Lord. Now, I've given you two examples. All over the scripture, God does that, where he comes and shakes things up a bit. And the purpose of him shaking it up is so that the people whom he wants to have the wealth, have the wealth. Say, you're talking about me. Say, that's my portion. Now, he says, one more time, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Then he says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And he knows how to come and... otherwise, there's... people believe that somehow you can go and find a way around that system, and then you end up being a billionaire. It's not going to work. And I remember telling that to somebody who at the time was doing very well and was wealthy. And I told him, and I was preaching somewhere, and he was seated in front. I told him, don't think you're going to get that gain from that system. Don't look to it. Right now it might be working for you, but don't look to it. And he looked at me with anger, because it felt like I was telling him how to. And in his mind, he was very rich and all that. Very soon, the system hit him. The very system. It hit him very badly. And that was inevitable. It always happens all the time. That's why God says he's shaking the heavens and the earth. And he's going to do it. Now, in Hebrews, and these things even, let me tell you something. Even these taxation things you see here, where everything is taxed. You're building a house, everything you're using to build the house is taxed. You build the house, you put it up for rent, it is taxed. Like every single thing is taxed and taxed. Now there are even property taxes. Now, something is changing in the world, because I was seeing even in some countries, for instance, in Argentina, the president there removed 90% of income tax. Now, you see this income tax, somebody earns 10 million shillings, 40 million, 4 million rather, goes to the government. So his take home is only 6 million out of the 10. Now, man, that's too much. That's almost socialism. 40% that's almost socialism. And now in Uganda, you don't get anything in return for what the government is taking. You only hear there were some PDM, the president was somewhere looking at pigs. Man. And you paid your 4 million out of your 10 million. And as far as your employer is concerned, for him he paid you 10 million. But you've not seen it. You've only seen 6. And that's not even the end of the taxes. Everything thereafter is going to be taxed. They don't even take off others. Then they'll take off this and take off that. And so at the end of the day, you almost get half of it. Now, all that is... Now, I've seen countries like Argentina. Argentina removed 90% of income taxes. Now, I'm seeing even in America, Trump is trying to remove income tax for people who earn less than $150,000 a year. In other words, for you, you're too poor, you keep your money. We shall tax people who are richer than you, who earn more than you. Now, you see the trend is a bit changing. I was seeing even in Hungary, because they were seeing the population is going down and people are not giving birth. Because some of those things, it's a way of family planning. You can't give birth because it's too expensive. So what he said, if a woman has two children, she's exempted from taxes, from income taxes, all her life. So now they are going to start, because some women want to have children, but it's too expensive in that culture. Even one, by the time you take them up to their adulthood, you have suffered with them, buying this, buying the other, buying that. So now he says, because of course those governments take a lot of that money. So he says, have two children, because we want to see the population increase. Because what happens is there are so many people there who are 50, 60 years and above, and very few young people. Almost all the young people are in Africa. Those people, very soon they will have no workforces. That's why they, you know, because some time ago, they made it very difficult for people to have children and have families. And they just make it difficult financially. So anyway, then I was seeing even some states individually in America. I was seeing the state of Tennessee removing all income taxes. Now, let me tell you, taxes are part of that system, or those kind of taxes. Now, that's not to say that people don't pay taxes, but there are taxes which are there as a way of keeping a system where the poor remain poor. The taxes which are normal, you know, you make this, you get taxed. But there are those which are purposed to have that aristocracy stay in place. Now, remember what Jesus told Peter. Jesus told Peter that when they came to ask him for a temple tax, and he told Peter, who do the kings of this earth take taxes from? From their sons or from strangers? Then Peter said, from strangers. Then Jesus told them, but lest they are offended, you go to the lake and get a fish and open it, and you'll get a gold coin and you pay their tax. Okay? But there is a preamble he put there. And it's not just now that people have started seeing that certain taxes are meant to be punitive and keep people in a certain place. Okay? Because even in the time of Jesus, they would tax those people heavily. And they send the money to the Roman Empire to build the army and keep them under servitude. So they come and conquer you, and then you pay taxes to make sure that you still remain their servants. So it was a very unpopular thing for people to pay taxes. And all those people there didn't like it, but they had to do it. They didn't like the idea that they had to keep on paying taxes to Caesar. That's why they came and tried to trick Jesus and says, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar? Because they knew the popular opinion would be, no, we should not pay taxes. Then now they have something against you, a real case against you. Or if you say you pay taxes, then the people whom you're preaching to hate you because they hate the taxes. So, you know, when you read it in the scripture, it looks like. But it was a very, very tough question for which you are damned if you do and damned if you don't. You say pay the taxes, the people hate you because they hate the taxes. You say don't pay the taxes, you've broken the law of Caesar. And now they can actually arrest you officially. So, that kind of wisdom which he used, only the Spirit of God can give, where he twists you and now somehow you thought you put him in a tight corner. Because they had thought that question through properly and said, later, we are going to trap him here. Anyway, he said, and when he came into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Verse 26. Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Now, you see this. When these people are coming and tell you there is carbon tax, you know, emissions tax, what tax? They are right. Do you know, they are so full of privilege that they will ride on private jets, or so many private jets, and they go to have a conference where they will tell people that you should not drive cars because you're emitting what? Carbon dioxide, which is spoiling the atmosphere. But do you know how much fuel? I mean, do you know how much emissions a plane has in comparison to a car? But for them, they think they're entitled. That's what Jesus was saying here. To whom? Strangers or to their sons? He says to strangers. He says, so their sons are free. And that's how it is. For them, they can ride private jets. When they come up with COVID rules, for them, they can break the rules. They can go anywhere they want. The idea is just for you, you are supposed to stay in your place. And that is what they have built. Now, they come here to tell you that God is shaking that system for your benefit. Okay? So when he shakes it, at the end of the shaking, the people whom he wants to be on top will be on top. And those, the Egyptians, at some stage, they were supposed to be above. Remember when Joseph told his brethren that when you come and you come to Pharaoh, tell him that we are herdsmen and we look after cattle. He said, because it is an abomination for the Egyptian for you to be a herdsman. So you're like, you know, you looked down upon. So they come and say, okay, for us, you say so we're herdsmen. That's okay. But at the end of the day, the people who are looking down on you have nothing. They are slaves of Pharaoh. You've saved our lives. We shall serve you all the days of our lives. And yet now you, who they were looking down on, you have possessions. And the land you own is now yours in a foreign land. Because God has shaken the system. And that was the purpose of that 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So Peter said to him, from strangers. Then Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Praise the Lord. The sons are what? Now the system we are creating, we are the sons. And they are the strangers. Those people who block us for 30 minutes are the strangers. And we are the what? God. Now some of you look at me and say it's not possible. You wait and see. And not for long, by the way. You wait and see. You just wait and see. Praise the Lord. It took only 14 years in the days of Pharaoh. 14. Not 40. Huh? 14. From one group to come from here and end up here. And the other group which were here end up the other side. Glory to God. Happening now. If we were watching news, they would be putting happening. What? Shake one more. Go to that Hebrews one. Then, okay. Go to that Hebrews whatever. It says, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Go ahead. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, and that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now the only things which cannot be shaken are the things which, the system which is built by God. When he builds it, it cannot shake. It cannot be shaken. Because in any case, he's doing the shaking. So you, like, it's stable. It is not going anywhere. Then he says that, but everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And it is being turned around. Then he goes on to say, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, praise the Lord. We are of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Praise the Lord. Only we have to be of that kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have to definitely see ourselves as part of that kingdom that cannot be shaken. And not try to fit in and almost mingle with that the other system there. Because it can be tempting to go there. Come here, let's do this. We are going to do what? You know? And I've seen people who have gone down that system. Like some people who are friends of mine, then they call them and tell them, we are going to give you deals of oil and gas. You go and spy on him, tell us everything he's doing. And somebody who was your friend starts recording every conversation of yours and sending it there. Because they have promised him he's going to be part of their system. And he will not be. And he is not even now. You only lost me as a friend. But he did not gain anything. Because they deceive you. You cannot be part of that system. The system detests you. It detests what you believe. It detests everything about you. It detests that you have the light of the Spirit of God in you. And it will spit you out at first, in the first chance it has. It cannot accept you. So now if you know something is not going to accept you, why are you forcing yourself to be a part of it? And then you get deceived, then they use you, then and you'll never be part of it. Now he says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Now, the kingdom that cannot be shaken, the kingdom that does not need to mix with those other kingdoms to gain any form of validation. Because you see, there are people even who are here who actually want to be validated by, you know, do you know what they do? Do you know what? And they need that kind of valuation. But you see, you have to get to a place where you don't need anything that they have. In the book of Joshua, chapter 23, when Joshua is giving his final address to the children of Israel, he says at some stage that remember how the Lord your God fought for you. And he said, one of you puts 1,000 to flight. One of you put 1,000 to flight. Now that's a scripture you can use for anything. Amen? You can use for anything where that calculation, and I've used it for something, and I said this 1 million is going to have the impact of 1 billion because one puts 1,000 to what? To flight. And you believe it. And you can actually see 1 million doing a lot, which you know 1 million could not do. Now he says, verse 10, Joshua 23. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore take careful heed to yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now he's telling them, as long as you do not mix with them, God is going to drive them out. But you see, the devil is sharp. When he sees that you're on the ascendancy, he comes and tries to mix with you. Because now the target, you confuse God's target. Because he wants to eliminate them, but one of them is your wife. He wants to eliminate them, one of them is your husband. Okay? One of them is the mother of your children. And he told you, do not mix with them. Otherwise, he says, now know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares. Go back to verse 12. It says, or else indeed, if you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them and they to you. Verse 13 says, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out, because now you've made yourself a part of them. And now God's target is confused. He doesn't know where to shoot because he's seeing you attached to them and them attached to you. And then he says, then they will become a snare for you. Now this, by the way, let me tell you, if you really, really, really want to understand this kingdom in which we are, the kingdom that cannot pass out, know that you have to get to a place where you're convinced you don't need anything from that side. Completely. Because God does not want to come and improve on a failed system. No, he wants to destroy it and build his own. Now, for you, because you have some sort of nostalgia towards the old system, you're hanging on and hoping that somehow, okay, God, please, you know, you, whatever. And that works for everybody. Remember when God was telling Abraham how he's going to give birth to a child. Then he says, but who is the child? I'm old. Even my wife is very old. Then he says that, you bless Ishmael, because he was looking at the person who is there. Now you're telling me about people who are not there. Then he says, you bless Ishmael. Then God told him, indeed I will bless him because he's your seed and he'll be a great nation. But you see what Ishmael has done to up to now. But Abraham was looking and saying, then God said, okay, I will bless him. You've asked me to bless him, I will bless him. But now you see what is happening in the Middle East. Ishmael has become Ishmael. And now that's what he says, to become a thorn in your flesh forever, like it is there, and it's not going anywhere. And because you were feeling, man, my son, okay, you know Baganda say, what? Go in away, what? Ye mwana, eh? Now, you God is promising you, you say, ah, me, I'm seeing this one. Now, at least, if anything, if all your promises don't happen, at least I have one son. But now for him, that's not how he's looking at it. Anyway, so, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer... This thing. Remember when I told you about Israel and how they asked for a king? And they said that we want to be like other nations. We want to have a king to go before us. And it displeased God because God did not want them to be like other nations. He wanted them to be a special nation. But now they look around and you're the only one who, you know, is in a certain thing. You're the only one who is believing a certain way. You're the only one in your family who thinks in a certain way. Then you say, you start thinking like them. I want to be like the rest of my family. You know, they do this, they do that. And that becomes a snare. So they said that we want to have also a king and be like other nations. Not that, they said, we want to be like other nations. Now, before they asked for a king, and then they said, we want a king who is going to lead us to war like other nations. But before they asked for a king to lead them to war, they had never had a single war. The person who was ruling over them was Samuel. He did not have any warrior skills. He only had prophetic skills. And he was the one who was ruling over them. And as long as he was there, they did not have a single war. Until they said, give us a king that we might be like other nations. Then guess what is the first thing that happened as soon as they put the king? War. The Philistines attacked. As soon as Saul was crowned king. Now, that wasn't God's plan. God's plan is don't be like other nations. Be like yourself. Now, you have to be comfortable in a place where I am not like others. Now, of course, I know that can be a bit difficult, especially depending on where, what you are involved in. But if you understand that there has to be a separation between them and you at all times, otherwise the Lord God is not going to drive them away from before you. You enter a business, they are doing things in a certain way, not being forthright, and they are doing this and that and that, and you say that the only way to survive in this business is being like them. And then, just like that, God was going to drive them out from before you, and now he's not going to, because you are like one of them. He has no basis to drive them out from before you, because also you are like one of them. Praise the Lord. You know, you have to know God is just. He's driving them out because they are doing wicked things. In the days of Manasseh, king of Judah, Manasseh ruled for, I think, 38 years, a very long time. And he did all kind of evil. All kind of evil. Like he was very evil. He did everything that was evil. And God said that all the nations which I drove out from before you, you are just as wicked, perhaps even more wicked than them. So you cannot dwell in the land because he's a God of justice. So even after Manasseh, there was a king called Josiah who was the exact opposite, who did everything good in the sight of God. Everything. It says there was no one like him who served God with all his heart. But God said, Manasseh sealed your fate. But because Josiah is good, the fall of Judah would have come in his time. But because he's good, I'll wait for him to die. Then the fall of Judah will come after he has died. Because his father was very wicked. And God said, now justice demands that just as I did to the other people, I do to you also. Because everything that they were doing, you are doing also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there has to be some form of separation. And now you see, sometimes the separation also includes in families. First go to Psalms chapter 68, verse 6. It says, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So he says, he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. Now, you have to understand that sometimes what stands between people and real prosperity, especially here, is people are bound by all sorts of different things. People are bound. And some of those bondages are from family lineages. So last time I told you about the covenants, making a covenant of wealth. when you start entering into a covenant, and there is another covenant which was entered into by somebody, which involves you, which includes you, then suddenly there is a clash of covenants. Then you start having dreams when your grandfather is visiting you and telling you, what are you saying? You mean you want to become a billionaire? For us, we are supposed to be poor in our family. I know people are like, a friend of mine told me of a pastor who somehow he wondered why he would go and ask for visa, denied. What? Denied. Everything, every attempt to leave the country, denied. Then, one day he's in preaching the gospel in Busia. That's what I said. Bound, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. So he goes to preach the gospel in Busia. Now he's at the border. And Kenya is just across. You know, just a valley like that, and there is, you know, Kenya. So the guy just conceives in his mind that, why don't I just cross and at least go and step on Kenyan soil? So he walks across, steps on Kenyan soil, then walks back. At night, he dreamt his grandfather telling him, "Gwe ania kugambi ovemu Uganda." Like, now you don't know that you're not supposed to leave until you try to leave. Now there was a covenant which you didn't know, but was somehow affecting you, and you didn't know about it because you were not there when it was made. But now, when you start trying to step away from it, then you hit a wall. And then the guy says, no wonder there's something standing in the way. No wonder I would never get a visa. I would never. And you think they're just denying you. You think you have to go and get a better bank statement and so on. No, it's spiritual. And now you go and you're trying to break a covenant. Now, of course, you can break it. And so easily. But you have to first know it. Because you see, some of these covenants, you don't ever know about them. You never know about them. And they come. Then there was also once when I started wanting to have, you know, property and so on. So I conceived in my mind that I'm going to, you know, buy land somewhere in the village and build a house and so on. Now, I did that because my mother used to tell me that she would tell my father that build a house in the village. And at the time when she was telling him that, he had the means. He was a man of means. He was working in East African community in Nairobi. He was perfectly okay. He could do that without a problem. But he refused. And then he refused. And then he refused. Then he refused, 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 refused. And then, of course, he lost that job and East African community collapsed. And what? Then he retired. And then he went back to the village and was staying in a very lousy house. And then my father was from that generation of people who, you know, there was this exchange program of students. So he went to study in America and what. So he had his stories for America. But after all the America stories, he ends up in what? In a what, whatever. So then my mother said, your father was so stubborn. I told him. Then I said, maybe sometimes also, you know, men can decide not to do something because the wife is over insisting on it. So I kind of explained it away like that. Then one day I had a dream. Now you see, this is how somehow you know that I didn't know. I had a dream. And in the dream, I drove a very sleek Mercedes Benz, very sleek. In the dream, it was gray, silver gray, very nice Mercedes Benz. And I drove in a place which I know, the village where I grew up, and then go there. You see? Then I come out of the Mercedes Benz, putting on a very nice gray suit. Like in the dream, you know, it's spectacular, where, you know, you're smart, you even have, you know, you're even shining. In Uganda, the same word, you call Mansuka. Now, and I was holding a briefcase. So now I passed some cousins of mine, whom I know. So I passed, they were seated somewhere there. And then I passed by them, and they greeted me the way you greet a Mugaga. You know, hey, how are you? So I'm also replying like, hey, what? Like the way Mugaga reply. So then I walked. Then I was going to where I was going to spend the night. And then you know where I was going to spend the night? A latrine. My sleek Mercedes Benz, sleek suit, briefcase, Mugaga, but you're going to a latrine. Then when I woke up, now I prayed about that dream. I prayed hard about it because something was terribly wrong. That was what was telling. Then the Lord revealed to me that your father wasn't just stubborn. There was a covenant that he was into which would not allow him to do what your mother wanted him to do. So, I also looked around at all his brothers. Same story. One of them was a bank manager and what? Living high life. Then ended up in what? Also like more or less a kasisi. Okay, not a kasisi, but you know. Some very, very bad accommodation. From glorified. I looked at all of them. The whole of them. All of them, it was the same undignified ending. Now, I'd not noticed it, although it was so clear before my eyes. But only when the Lord showed it to me in a dream that I realized, hey, so this was a covenant. And then he told me that if you don't break it, even your generation, you'll be like that. You can have all the money, but you'll end up what? Hey, that's what the dream was showing me. I am rich. I'm in a sleep machine, but I'm going to sleep in the latrine. And thank God the dream ended when I was entering the latrine. Because I don't want to know how I was supposed to sleep in it. Because it was even like a small latrine. So now you're laughing, but let me tell you this. When I got to know that, this is like some years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, actually more than 15 years ago. Then I got out of it and prayed and broke that thing. And I prayed and I even fasted and make sure I'd broken that covenant. Then suddenly my elder brother builds a house there in the village, a nice house. Then my younger brother also builds a nice house in the village immediately after I broke the covenant. So now, when he says he takes you out of those who are bound into prosperity, sometimes there are things which stand in the way. And now when you start entering a covenant of wealth, then you encounter things which your judge went to and what, you know. And it shows up in your dreams, most likely. And then you realize. Then another guy told me that, said that he went and was praying and he was broke and he was confessing some very powerful scripture from Isaiah 45. He says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. Now you see, keep that in mind, to open before him double doors, okay? And the gates will not be shut. Then he says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am God of Israel. Now you see, he's saying there are gates which have to be opened for you to get where there are treasures of darkness. And those gates, some of them are natural, like I've told you, the system of the world. Others are spiritual, like the one I've told you. And so many others, which some of you encounter. Somebody told me here that when I start praying in this way, that you're telling us to pray, I start dreaming. And those things happen, you start dreaming, you know, people from all, the people who made the covenant, they come for you. I've had a scenario where my grandfather came for me when I was on a sick bed, very sick. And he came, and I looked, and I saw I didn't see him in real life. He died before I was born. But he came, and I asked him, who are you? Then he said his name. Then I went and asked my mother, how did he look like? What, did he look like this? Then that's more or less how he looked. But he came. Then, when I heard that, it occurred to me, something occurred to me that man who entered the covenant lived into up to his 90s. But all the generation of that was my grandfather, all the generation of my fathers, none of them scathed 70. All of them died there and thereabout. Then I noticed now the third generation, even 50 was becoming a problem. People are dying, HIV, what, all these things. Then the Lord showed me that also that one you have to break. And I'm going to break for the whole family. Then they can also live all those years. Because I have to be the salvation of what? Of the family. Now I break for the entire family. Now I'm going to, I haven't completed, although I did part of it. But the other part, I'm going to do it later. But otherwise, you find somebody gets 45 and dies. Even that time when the man was coming to visit me. Like, if I was not who I am, I am telling you, I would die. Because he had come for me. Only now, I know something. I know that I do not belong to the generation of him. Okay? I know that I belong to another generation, not his. But you see, now if you attach yourself so much to these natural things, that's the mistake so many people make. You're proud of your, you know, your tribe, your what, your clan and all that. Don't be proud of it because you take everything with it. Now, this Baganda even have something which they call a choger. When you are born, they go and wash you in some kind of things. Eh? And they are proclaiming things over you. If you do not come and be in Christ fully, those things are going to be a covenant in your life. It can affect. Now, for my generation of my fathers, all of them started well, educated, ended up in Busisira, and died there. The women never got married. All of them joined Busisira. But interestingly, the women are the ones who built houses. Because usually for men, it comes for wealth. And for women, it comes for marriage and childbirth. Those covenants which those people enter. That's usually, not all the time, but usually that's how it is. You can even have a woman who will be successful, rich, but somehow marriage jams. Because so now this is what he says. So he says, I'll give you the treasures of darkness. So this guy is praying with this scripture and say he's claiming these things. Now, you know, you're doing something in the realm of the spirit. So he's claiming. Then he said he had a dream when his grandfather came to him and gave him a note, an old paper note of 20 shillings. They don't even exist any longer. Not 20,000, 20 shillings. A paper note. So he came and handed. And it was very old and wrinkled, like a really, really old way, even have to struggle to. So he handed it over to him. Now what happens is he's trying to enter another covenant, but there's another covenant which he's trying to lay claim to him. Now the trouble, of course, with some people is they become so proud of their tribes. And you don't know that you attach it, your identity to it, and it is going to affect everything. There are things which are... So you say, Oba, nedida chino, ndi muzukuru wa gundi. Odi muzukuru wa Abraham. Like, don't... By the... Okay. That is stupidity. Because you are taking on covenants. On your own. You're taking on covenants which people made, and they are going to affect your life. And you will never be anything because... In that, all those, you know, clans, which people, whatever, there are things which are true of them. This clan, they do this. This one, they do this. The other one, they do this. You see? Eh? So now you take them on, and you even confess them, and you're proud of it, and you say, you know me, I'm proud of what? Man, you be proud of it, and you see how it will affect your life. You either take on this one of Abraham, even let's say Uganda. You take on the full mantle of Uganda. There are things which are true of Uganda. Now you go and take on the mantle. Now you see, God told Abraham, Genesis 12, I will make of you a great nation. Now that's the nation to which I belong. But I'm currently a resident in where? But my belonging, just as Jesus said, you're of this world, but you are in this world, but you're not of this world. Now I'm currently a resident in Uganda, but there is a nation. I will make you a great nation. So there is another nation I come from which is great. Because according to Galatians 3:13 and 14, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of everything that has been spoken. You know those things where they choke it. Then they bathe the baby in some kind of leaves. Then they say things. Then they proclaim things. And then you grow up and like you're fighting against a wind. When people come to me and they tell me those things, there is a prayer I pray about them. I always say this, that every spiritual ritual that has been performed with you as a subject, knowingly or unknowingly, I render it powerless over your life. I deprive it of any spiritual authority. And I say every word that has been spoken concerning you that is contrary to God's purpose in your life, I cancel it. I render it powerless over your life. Okay? Because those covenants are made in words and are made in, you know, all this. Now, they are broken by not associating with that thing. That's not who I am. Yeah, I belong to another nation called Abraham, the one which God promised him. Okay? I belong to another bloodline. I don't belong to a bloodline of those people who die young or who don't build houses in the village. That has to end with me. Amen? Praise the Lord. It has to end with who? Say, it has to end with me. Every covenant that has been holding you, not just for you, even your family, even those who are not born again, it has to end with you. Now, when God showed me, I don't break it for myself, I break it for all my family. Now, you have to make sure that, go back to the Psalm 68. So it says, God sets the solitary in families. Now, you see, when you get, these are real families, when you get born again, you have another family here. Now, if you be too attached, that doesn't mean you don't, you know, don't get me wrong. Eh? But if you really, really tie yourself into everything that is true of your natural family, it is going to, everything that is true of them is going to be true of you. Praise the Lord. But he says he sets people in, solitary people in families. So some people are solitary and God puts them in the family of the watchman. Amen? Eh, now this is a more valuable family to you. Because here we believe alike. Praise the Lord. And we are all from the nation that is called Abraham. Although we are currently resident where? In Uganda. But that's what is true of Uganda is not true of us. Otherwise, you'll never be a billionaire. Now, that gentleman was saying that prayer in Isaiah 45. He told me, very, very good, you know, that I want to be the first billionaire in my family. But then the trouble is he's so attached to his tribe and his clan. Every time you talk, you can't be a billionaire like that. You can't. Unless maybe your father and your grandfather were born again. And all those things were broken before you. Now, when I break them here, my children don't have to ever break them. For them, they enter into a natural blessing, which was gotten for them by me. Amen? They are like Isaac. Abraham did all the hard work. Isaac inherited the blessing. Praise the Lord. But most of you are Abrahams. You are the first person in your lineage who is born again. Yesterday I was laughing at what? Some guy from Busoga. Eh? Because I saw a whatever. Now imagine those people. You come from a place where people, and all of us are like that. I remember I had a story where that grandfather of mine said that he knew prophetically, of course not prophetically, that he's going to give birth to 9 sons and one of them is going to be a sacrifice for God. When I heard that, I said, now, this is not a lineage I'm going to be a part of. And one of his sons was struck by lightning. Dead. So I said, I am not going to be a part of this. Because you take it on, it comes with all the baggage. All the baggage. Now he says, go back to Psalm 68. He says, God sets solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. From being bound by those things into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So now, here is my caution to all of you. If you like your tribe so much, that's not your true identity. Your identity is in Christ. Don't over-identify with things which are natural. Like it is not. Now you see there are places you preach this. And people will say, yeah, you see what? You go and identify with your. Very soon you'll also be hugaramidai. When for us we are still here. Now if I was like that, I would be hugaramidai somewhere. Because the man came for me. To take me to Kugalamira. Eh? You're joking. This thing, you have to be very, very serious that I don't belong to that. I am a chosen generation. I am the beginning of this new generation of those who are going to propel, to show forth the praises. What does it say? 1 Peter 2:9. He says, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, this is the nation that you're talking about. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That holy nation is not called Uganda, although you're living on Ugandan soil. Okay? His own special people. that you may proclaim. This is not even the right translation. Go to King James. He says, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. It does not say proclaim. Show them. Show forth the praises. How do you show them? By your life. When you're the first billionaire in dollars, you're showing forth his praises. Not saying praises, showing. Where you're living a life where you people just look at you and praise God. Because they know you're supposed to be a musical of somebody who is lying somewhere. But they know in that lineage of yours, nobody has been a billionaire or even a millionaire. Now for you, there you are. Now you're showing forth the praises. Now there, all the family will come to you because they like money. Praise the Lord. They will come to you and they will also run away from that thing of Muzukuru Wagundi. Praise the Lord. But see, there are some people who are so attached. I have seen people who are very, very, very proud of their, you know, manifim chikacha fecha or what. To call a wait to tea and wait to tea and wait to tea. And you just want to slap him. Like, make up your mind. Where do you want to where do you want to belong? You can't belong both ways. You see, now that's the lie. They think you can belong both ways. You cannot. One of them. That's why, and I'm going to end with this. That's why when you try to enter a new covenant this side, you dream the custodians of the old covenant. You know, they are gatekeepers. That's why he says you break in pieces the gates of bronze. There are people who are keeping the gates to make sure that you don't have exit here. This is supposed to be your level. For you, you are not supposed to travel out of Uganda. Then you dream your grandfather, who is the custodian of that thing, saying, what do you check Kenya? You did not even enter. You just stopped at the water and then came back. But he's angry. How would you think you are to go to Kenya? Now, the minute you try to break it, then all those, they will come. They will show up. All the custodians of those covenants in the spirit will show up and try to say, you're not supposed to be like this. You're not supposed to be like this. Then you totally say that is for the people who are in you. For me, I'm a holy nation. Ugandans are not supposed to be like this. For me, I'm not a Ugandan. I'm of what? Holy nation. This tribe is not supposed to be like this. That's your business. For me, I belong to a different tribe. Okay? And so on. Then you completely seal that in your identity. And not just casually. Actively make it part of your identity. And then you'll see. Now, when I started seeing those, I was taking on this new identity. Then all the custodians of the old one showed up. And they're like, Then I had to wake up and break it. To enter into a new covenant, you have to break another one. If it is there. For the most of us, it is, by the way. Amen? You can't enter a new one when you're still attached to the old one. So that is the principle. So when I told you last week about making a covenant of wealth, that's how you break all covenants which hold you back. Remove all gatekeepers. Break all the gates of bronze. And I'll break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Now you think it's a joke. But actually in the spirit there are gates. Like, you're not supposed to exceed here. Like bars of iron holding you. This is where you're supposed to be. Then he says, verse 3, and I will give you the treasures of darkness. Remember, he first said that I will make crooked places straight. That's also another thing by which people are held in bondage. You see, something is supposed to be straightforward. Like, you did the work, they are supposed to pay you. But man, like crooked places. Now he says, I will make crooked places what? Hey. Like, wait. And I know what, like, you've done something. The person even says, this is a good job. I'm going to pay you tomorrow. Then you see the crooked places. Shoo, 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 shoo. And then what is supposed to be paid tomorrow, you pay 2 months later, by which time you've already even taken loans. And now you're just paying debts. And you live like your life like that. So he says, I'll make crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron and give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of what? Secret places, that you may know. Go ahead. That you may know that I, the Lord who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. Now, he's telling this, he's saying this in a prophecy to Cyrus, who was the king of Persia. And he's saying to know that I'm the God of Israel. Then he goes on to say, in verse 4, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. Now, the spectacularness of this prophecy is that Isaiah lived around 500 and maybe 50 years before Christ. Now, Cyrus lived at least 200 years later. But then, there is the prophecy mentioning Cyrus by name. So according to that Jewish historian called Josephus, when Daniel became very good friends with Darius, the man who put him in the den of lions, when they became very good friends afterwards, and Daniel was more or less an advisor to the emperor. So when Darius went to meet Cyrus, they met somewhere and he was with Daniel. And then Daniel told Cyrus that, do you know that the Jewish prophecies speak about you? Then Cyrus says, where do they speak about me? Then he brings out all the Jewish prophecies, which Cyrus knew were there long before he was born. And he sees his name there. Then he says that, so what am I supposed to do according to those prophecies? Then he says, you are supposed to release Israel from your empire to go and create their own, to go back to Jerusalem and build their own place in Judah and rebuild the temple and all that. Then Cyrus said, I'm going to do that. So he's the one who gave an order for all the Jews who are in his empire to go back and rebuild the temple, and even give them everything which Nebuchadnezzar had taken away from the temple at first. All the articles of silver and gold, he gave them to him, and even gave an order that all the people who dwelt that side of the empire should not bring taxes to the capital. They should give the taxes to the children of Israel so that they can build a temple. And then he says that so that you build a temple of the Lord your God and pray to him for me, that he gives me prosperity. Now, Cyrus was one of the most magnificent and extremely wealthy emperors. And he was also one of the emperors who ruled for the longest. His reign was 54 years because he completed his purpose for which God said, I called you by name and said, I'm going to give you the wealth of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places for the purpose of my children Israel. So now, as long as he did what the prophecy said he was supposed to do, he was blessed and he was multiplied and he was very, very, very strong and very wealthy. Praise the Lord. Because there was the covenant there. The covenant was, I'm giving you this for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect. I've even called you by your name. I'm not giving it to you just because of you. I'm giving it to you because of them. Now, you do to them what I have told you to do, and you will be blessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can see you're tired, but it's okay. We started very late because of when the wicked perish. Praise the Lord. But thank God that God is in control. Imagine if he wasn't. Just imagine if he wasn't. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so I've finished preaching. And it's even 9:15. So I have no time to do anything else. So go and redeem your families. Go and break all covenants that are standing in the way of you making the real covenant of wealth. Praise the Lord. Make sure there is not a single covenant that is standing in your way, that you are in an open place, free to dream, free to prosper, free to move on, to excel. There's somebody here whom we are supposed to pray for. I wish you had shown me this before. I prefer to pray before, because now people's minds be a bit tired. This is whatever area you stand up. This is area. This is his father, who is sick. He has cancer, so we have to, let's pray for him. But I really want you to pray with your heart. This is the father of one of our people. This one is, a true watcher, a partner. So he's one of us. Remember, he says he puts the solitary in what? Families. So now he's come to his family. Now his family are supposed to stand with him. So pray with passion, just in a few minutes. You don't have to. Pray with passion and actually rebuke that cancer and intercede for him, that it is well with him and that his life is prolonged. Amen? Amen. Okay, now let us agree. Just agree with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up James before you in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, we declare that your healing hand, the healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, reaches out to him wherever he is and touches him. And now in the name of Jesus, we speak a prolongation of life. We speak healing. We speak strength in the name of Jesus. And your hand of healing hand touches him and strengthens him. And he experiences strength that he has not experienced before in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, because your hand turns around every situation that has been negative in the name of Jesus. And now we intercede for him. And we thank you, Father, because your hand touches him. And he is lifted up from where he is. And he is a testimony in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.